The trap that business owners fall into often is that, because they're doing it for the business, because we have to do some of these things online, that they end up sort of just fully in that space and, really not taking care of their brains and in some cases their relationships, right? And so I think it's this trap we can fall into.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again on the podcast. I am so excited to introduce my friend and guest, Kelsey Green. Kelsey, how are you today?
Hey, Tori. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. Yes. So my name is Kelsey Green, and I go under Kelsey L. Green for my business. And I have a couple different arms to my business. I work in the strategic communication space, focusing on environmental, water policy, especially in Washington State. And I also work with women entrepreneurs and creatives around things like accountability, setting digital boundaries in order to focus and produce your work, bring your work into the world. And I also, something I know you and I share, am very passionate about community and both digital communities, but especially in-person community.
Yeah. You know, it's so important, that last little piece about not only digital community, but in-person community, because there's so much in this space and world that we're in. We have all of these connections online in this digital space, and there's something so magical about being in person, right? We meet people across the world, across the nation, but when we can come together, there's an energy and a light that just like bonds you so much that you just can't explain, and you can't get that from the digital space. So I'm so passionate about that. I know you are too. So I love that we have that in common.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's funny, right? Because you and I are connecting in this space, and you and I are part of this really cool mastermind. I guess I've known you now for a couple of years,
yeah.
Right? And I'm grateful for all of my digital communities. Absolutely. There's so many people I would never have met, in Washington
right.
State, of course. And at the same time, part of my work and one of my goals is to make sure that those communities aren't fully taking over and replacing the in-person connections that we can make in the world.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about digital boundaries, right? Because I know that's something that you're passionate about. You know, obviously we have to be online to be visible. We have to be in a certain space as a business owner we have to be on a digital space in order to be found and do the work that we do. But why is digital boundaries so important for entrepreneurs today?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and I guess I'll just start out by saying you're absolutely right. And yes, I fully recognize, as someone with a almost fully, online digital business, fully recognize that these are incredible tools for us in the world, right? And the way that you and I mostly run our businesses. And at the same time, because some of these platforms have been created to be highly addictive and, as I just mentioned, sort of take the place of some of these in-person connections, the trap that business owners fall into often is that, because they're doing it for the business, because we have to do some of these things online, that they end up sort of just fully in that space and, you know, really not taking care of their brains and in some cases their relationships, right? And so I think it's this trap we can fall into. And, you know, I have a service-based business as part of my revenue stream right now. It's really tempting when you have clients to answer every email right when it comes in, to have your notifications on, to answer every single call, every single text, right? It is so tempting, especially when you're first building. And that, I would posit, is an absolute trap that is going to burn you out in not even the long run, I'd say in the medium term. Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. You mentioned kind of like a list of digital tools or assets that become traps. And I think that's something that maybe people don't recognize, something that can be maybe a boundary they need to set for themselves in that digital space. Because we think about like email, right? That I need that for my business. But that can be one of the biggest traps in and of itself, because, you know, our emails are on our phones and, you know, we're done with our workday at whatever time, 5, 6, whatever it is, but the emails still come through. And so if you're not careful or diligent about setting boundaries to either not check your email after a certain time, or, you know, the first thing that you do when you wake up, checking your email on your phone, like there's so many things. Not even, I think a lot of people would associate digital boundaries with social media, because people mm-hmm. are like, I need to unplug from social media. Like, yeah, that's one thing, but there's other things that come in. I mean, you and I, we're on so many different platforms together. We've got yeah. Voxer, we've got, yeah. you know, communities online, email, social, mm-hmm. like all those things that just you and I are connected on. And so it's like, if you think about that, it just compounds over time. So would you agree that maybe email is one of those sort of traps?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you why I think it's so important. Yes, to your point, absolutely. Email, streaming, you know, there's so many cool apps that I love. And gosh, can you just end up spending a ton of time in these apps? Not even social media, just like nutrition tracking. I have an app for my, you know, for my weightlifting, you know, I have the Whoop Strap, all these cool things. The Whoop Strap doesn't have a face, a digital face. So I'm not like doing stuff like this, but there's still a very cool app attached to it, right? And you can spend time in all kinds of places. The issue is that when you are doing this shallow kind of work, your brain is actually working quite hard. And that's what's really starting to kill me a little bit, is when I see women that feel burnt out, super frazzled, overwhelmed, have a hard time focusing, right? Think they might have some kind of attention deficit disorder. The problem is it becomes very challenging to sit and focus and do your work, your deep work I'm talking about, not your admin yeah. work. It becomes very hard to do your deep work when you have allowed your brain to become so distracted all the time. And one of the things that I've been working on is kind of like a social experiment on myself, right? Because I'm talking a lot about digital boundaries and even digital minimalism these days. And so you gotta like try this out on yourself. So I'm working on setting up a boundary that, and this is a journey. I'm not saying that I accomplish this every day, but from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., no screens, with the exception of if I want to write or do a deep work project first thing in the morning. I get up about 5 a.m. first thing in the morning. That's fine. I can get on my computer, no phone, computer yeah. only, from like 5 to 7 ish. And do some deep work. And I am finding that, okay, so many things. A, go to bed way earlier. If you stop watching Netflix at 7 and you put your phone away, let me tell you, there's not a lot to do. And I read books. I love reading books. But it's even so, you go going to bed a lot earlier. Wake up earlier, right? And then I am finding I really am able to focus more so on one task in front of me and push through those feelings that you might have of like wanting to check something, like a key A key hack, I will just say before I forget, is that you want your phone to be out of sight. You want your phone to be away from you. There's academic studies that show that when your phone is next to you, even face down, or someone else's phone is next to you, your attention is fractured. You are actually dumber in those moments, right? So phone out of sight.
So interesting. Yeah, I can recognize the bad habits that I fall into. Definitely in the evening, you know, pick up your phone, nothing to do, you just scroll, like aimlessly scrolling. And so it's such a, you know, I love that you're kind of testing it out on yourself, because that's the best recipe to figure it out, right? Be your own guinea pig. One question I wanted to ask you as you were talking, I was thinking about, what do you say to entrepreneurs and women entrepreneurs specifically, since that's our audience, who feel like they have to be online because that's their business? How do you combat that? Do you just set the boundaries within like time frames, like business time versus personal time? Or how do you help them understand the importance of having digital boundaries while still building a business online?
Yeah. Right. And this is the question, right? This is the question. So, you know, I would say that this is a little bit of a journey. If you are just starting out, I understand the compulsion to feel like you need to be hyper responsive, you know, answer everything right away, especially if you have clients who you are actively serving, you know, and there is a time and place for that. If there's an event, if there's an emergency, you know, we had some wildfires here in Washington State, and one of my clients needed urgent communications. That's different. I'm not talking about that, right?
Yeah.
But there are very few, maybe I wouldn't say very few, maybe they're depending on your industry. There are few instances where your immediate response is actually critical, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of playing the long game here. So you can do it, and you can be super responsive, and you know that can be beneficial in the short term. But if you're looking at the long game here, you're gonna burn out. You're going to put yourself into a trap where that is the expectation that you are setting. Then if you go out into the woods for a couple of days, or you go on holiday with your family and you're actually off your phone, then it's gonna look like you are messing up, like that you're non-responsive. Yeah. Right.
Yep. Yeah. I was just going to say, I learned early on in my career that your response time sets the precedence for your clients' expectations. And if you're responding to your clients within seconds or minutes or whatever it might be, if you're texting them after work hours, you're giving them the okay to step into that space and time. So you need to set your own, not even just digital boundaries, just personal boundaries when it comes to that, because it's so important to let people understand that you have a life outside of your business. And so, yeah, I learned that early on in my career.
Yeah. And there's a term that I learned from someone in our community that you know, and she introduced this term to me. She introduced me to the term digital minimalism, which just blew my mind. And as an online entrepreneur, right? And then she also mentioned the term strategic negligence. Mm. And it felt like a scary term in the beginning, because I could not imagine purposefully not responding to something, you know, that a client sends. And I still have these, but her point was, you are teaching people how to treat you.
Yeah.
And if you're responding to a text at 10 PM, that's the expectation that you have set. So sometimes you just need to ignore that text until business hours the next day, right?
Right.
Things like that. And again, I know that people are on different parts of the journey, and I'm not saying come out of the gate and only check your email once a week, right? Which is literally one of my goals for the long term. But it's that, you know, you can set these little boundaries in place. So it's very important in the beginning, especially.
Yeah. One thing that I'd say too, as a piece of advice for our listeners, is building an online business. You have to be in all places at all times, right? But you don't physically have to be there. What I think that people need to understand and embrace is technology and automation, right? Because there's ways that you can still communicate with people and your business can work for you while you're not personally in front of the computer. I mean, you think about things like email campaigns and drip systems and like AI automations and chatbots, like all those things that you can use in your business to help you stay in front of people when, you know, you don't physically have to be there. So there's ways that you can work around it where you set your own personal boundaries, but then you also still utilize technology to help you stay in communication, in touch, you know, and then, you know, even if it's like a, hey, I'm I'm out of the office right now, but I'll get back to you soon. Like those types of things are still allowing you to be a touch point, but also give you your own personal boundaries and space that way too. So
just, I mean, absolutely great, great point. Both technology, automation, and hiring other people to help you, right?
True, yeah.
So I have never liked social media. I've never wanted to be on social media. And, you know, it's sort of like having, well, using a third-party scheduler, and maybe the algorithm hates that. Okay, I don't know. But you know, looking at if the automation isn't quite enough all the time, because sometimes you do need that personal touch, of course, having just hired someone to help you out a little bit, to just alleviate that pressure to have to be on the platforms all the time. Yeah. And Tori, I guess I just want to speak to a point that you made that I think is sort of critical here to realize, is that these are amazing tools, right? For our lives, for our business. I don't think anyone's arguing that technology has across the board made things worse for people, right? There's things like laparoscopic surgery. I'm delighted that they don't have to like cut me open, like, you know, to do a little procedure these days, right? That's great. But the point is, can we use the tools as tools? Can we put the tools in place and let them work for us? Let social media help get our message out to the world. Let, you know, things connect, help connect people, right? But the tools aren't using us. They aren't subverting our own values in the world, and they aren't hijacking our brains and our relationships, right? That's the point.
Yeah. And just to kind of like take that last point and tie us into this next conversation, the connection and the relationships, right? Like when we are building a business, we need to have community. And with that community, part of it, I mean, so part of the digital, I think part of digital boundaries is for yourself, but also having people to hold you accountable in that that digital boundary space too, right? And support and surrounding yourself with people who support you in your journey, in your business, but also helping you fulfill your goals with the connections that you make in these communities. And I know we talked a little bit about this, but I want you to talk a little bit more about, you know, why you think, so I think there's a term that you use, ultimate force multiplier, right? Oh, so communities are these, this ultimate force multiplier. Why do you feel that way? And why is it so important, especially if we're talking about unplugging from digital, setting boundaries on digital, why now should we focus on community?
Yeah. Great question, Tori. Thanks. So I'll just speak to the general issue first, and then I'll move into the business element, right? So in general, you may have heard, as many people have, that there is something that has been coined an actual loneliness epidemic, right? And this is globally. And I'd say that I think the data shows very clearly that this tracks, especially for young people, unfortunately, especially, you know, coming from 2010 with the release of the smartphone, right? So loneliness epidemic, which impacts our physical health the same way that, you know, if we were smoking a bunch of cigarettes, if we never got out and did anything physical, you know, if you're eating like crap, I mean, all kinds of stuff, it's impacting us just like some of these actual things that we're doing to our bodies. Loneliness and disconnection has the same impacts, right? So just to kind of frame up the issue like that. And there's just been this decrease in things like these, what do they call them, the, you know, third places where there's not home, work, but there's these places out in the community where people physically gather together. Historically, we see less and less of these, right, as people connect online. We're seeing less, of course, of people talking to each other in public spaces, like at the grocery store, you know.
They're head down looking at their phone, right?
Yeah. And I think one of the saddest things is I think we know our neighbors a lot less. And I think that there's these little relationships, like just your neighbor down the street, you know, that you maybe don't have a lot in common with, but you see each other all the time, you know.
Yeah.
And to chat with them and just feel a sense of literal physical community in the space that you live, I think is so important. And we're seeing that decrease, right?
Yeah.
So in-person community, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you hanging out with 10 of your favorite pals many times a week, you know, besties forever. I'm talking about just these little small interactions that you would have throughout the day with physical people that we have less of. Okay. So there's that. In terms of community, you and I talked about how cool and important digital communities are and how impactful they can be. And I think one of the things that I'm striving for is in the digital space, can we do more to connect with each other on a deeper level, both because we're people that need to connect, but also to do things like being more accountable to our dreams, to our goals, yeah. Right? So to go back to your initial thought about the force multiplier and what that means, I have this mastermind called Summit in Six, and it's where a cohort, it's the same women that move together through 6 months and to accomplish one huge summit goal, I call it. A lot of these women are finishing their books. And this is a huge,
love that,
onerous task. And to do it together in community is, you know, just the accountability to both the mastermind leader, which is myself, but then also to the other women. I mean, it can be really magical.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about the connections you make with those people. And I think that's one of the most, the things that I love most about community is that, like, you meet these people online and you stay connected with them and you build this ongoing relationship that you are now invested in their life and their business and likewise them for you as well. And so, like, you and I, we've never physically met in person, have we? Or did we meet once?
No, we haven't, which I keep forgetting because it feels like we...
I know, I was like, wait, did we meet? Because I know there was a San Diego event, but I don't think you were there. So yeah, so we haven't met in person yet, but it's like, like we've known each other for a couple years now. And I feel like we have met in person just because of the frequency that we talk and the level of openness and vulnerability that we have in our space and with each other. You know, that's something that is so integral to women specifically. I think we need to have those people and for entrepreneurs specifically, we live in such a lonely space, right? A lot of times we're solopreneurs or we work remote and our team is in other locations. And so we don't physically have people around us like we would in a corporate or, you know, brick and mortar space. And so when we can have these communities and these supporters, it helps us in so many ways, mental health and, you know, emotional support and business growth and accountability and just friendship and community, all of those things. So I love the community space. I love the friendship, the masterminds, all of those things. Just so integral to business, to growth, to our mental health, all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tori, one thing I think is important to point out, given your audience and where you and I are at in our lives, is that there are these shifts that happen in your communities over time. And we know that, right? We've presumably seen it in our own lives. And I'm so grateful because, okay, I love podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts. And early on in my business journey, I heard a lot of entrepreneurs, both women and men, say that when you move into an entrepreneurial space, you're going to lose a lot of your previous friends. And I truly did not believe that. I was like, well, that's sad for them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That will never happen to me.
Because it doesn't seem so drastic, you know, that it would change the dynamic to such an extent. But truly, that is what happened for me. And people talk about this little loneliness abyss where you're trying to then find your people. And I will say, if you have old friends and you're still aligned, you know, values wise enough, and you still want to, yes, honor and nurture those friendships. Great.
Absolutely.
Of course. Yeah. I'm not saying dump all your old pals. But I just want to point out and normalize the fact that when we go through our lives, but especially when we move into different spaces, and it seems to be certainly true for an entrepreneurial space, that you probably will have a shift in community. And it might not look like just a gentle falling away. It might look a little bit more dramatic.
Like a cliff.
Yeah. But you know, that can happen. And one of the things I talk to adults about is, how do you make new friends, you know, in your 40s, 50s, you know, after you retire, right? Because it was a lot easier in college or 20s, whatever. Or if you're a parent and you connect with your, you know, the other parents of kids that, you know, but then, you know, you realize as your kids age, I've heard this from parents, as your kids age, that you actually have like very little in common with these fellow parents beyond the kids, and now they're going away to school or whatever, and you're like, hey, you know. So
well, it's just like when you like you start a family but your friends still haven't had kids, it's like your relationship changes because now you're focused on the kids and all that stuff while your single friends are doing single stuff.
Right.
It's like that whole dynamic changes. But I think ultimately everything is about a journey, right? We're at different stages in different parts of our life. And so we have to honor where we are. We have to honor who we are, and not fall into the trap of the what ifs or shoulds, you know, in our life, because, you know, life's too short, and you have to surround yourself with amazing people who are going to support you, love you for who you are, and be your biggest cheerleader. So I'm just grateful for the space that we have and the opportunity that we've been able to connect through.
Definitely. Yeah. And you know, I know that, you know, Tori, in our spaces, I know we talk a lot about mission, vision, values all the time, right? And so I almost hesitate to bring it up because it's like, oh, values, right? But I think it's pretty important, both for, you know, just to sort of bring these conversations together, the community and the people that you have in your life, you know, and the way that you're showing up in the world, in terms of how you're spending your actual time and the content that you're consuming, the ways that you're engaging online and in person, you know, these are all, I think, you know, critical for the way that you're going to feel about yourself, right? And also reflect in the work that you're bringing out into the world. So I'd say looking at the values, and I guess I'm just thinking about community, because even if it's not about kids or not about business, people see a lot of shifts in their communities when they're like, I don't really want to kick it at the bars anymore, you know, like, I'm in my early 40s now. I'm like, I feel like I had a lot of great times, and I'm cool not going to the clubs, right? But it's like, some of my friends are still doing that with kids. Like, not kids aren't at the bar.
Yeah.
You know.
Hopefully like, not. No.
Like, I don't know how you have time. Like, you got kids and you got a job and you're just like, you know, hanging out, taking shots still. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like those transitions through life, but really making sure that you're taking a look at your core values and are your activities, both digitally, the way you show up with other people, supporting these core values, or are they subverting them, right?
Yeah, that's such a great point. I'm so glad that you kind of wrapped that little bow of what we talked about and tied it into value, because it's absolutely true. You need to align on values in so many different ways. And we've talked about, you know, digital boundaries and, you know, how you need to be online, but still set your own boundaries for digital space. And we talked about community and all those things. So I'd love if you can maybe share one piece of advice for someone who is curious about like a practical step that they can take to maybe, you know, tiptoe into this digital boundary space while still being able to have a community that they support themselves with? What's a practical step that they can take?
Yeah, thanks, Tori. Well, I think that, you know, I've been giving this advice a lot, and I wouldn't say it's the easiest to hear, but what I've been telling people is that setting digital boundaries and pushing yourself to cultivate and nurture more in-person connections is probably going to be pretty tough at first, right? It's actually not that easy, especially with the digital boundaries piece, because you are fighting against the same addictive properties as if you're doing some lines of coke, right? Or
went the extreme, girl.
Because it's exactly the same in your brain, right? It's the same properties. It's just an addiction. And I'll just note that if you want to test this out, I run these 24-hour screen-free Sunday challenges. There's two usually every month, right? So yeah, and that's like just like it sounds, 24 hours, no screens. If you want to see how compulsive your digital use is, try one of these challenges and it will become apparent to you, right? So my point is, you don't have to do something drastic like this. There's a great book I actually have right here, Digital Minimalism, and that can sound really scary, but it's more about creating the ethos in your life of how you want technology to show up and support you and your goals. But the point is, the advice I would give is, this is probably going to be a little challenging and it may be inconvenient at times, but it is critical. It's critical to create the space in your brain to bring your work into the world, to actually be able to focus, bring the work out into the world. And it's critical for your in-person relationships. And I'm not a parent, so I don't want to speak to parenting or giving advice for parents, but I have a lot of people come to me asking me about how to help manage their kids' digital consumption. And, you know, I would say the book, The Anxious Generation, if you haven't read it as a parent, critical reading for parents, terrifying, but critical. But it's sort of like the parents that are asking me this don't seem to have a grip on their digital use, right? Yeah. And kids are going to do, you know, they have a lot of other influences than their parents, of course, but getting a handle on your own use, you know, first before, you know, to set that example. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard as an entrepreneur. It's hard as just a regular person, you know, because they're so, these platforms are so prevalent in our life, but just taking baby steps towards it, knowing that it's going to be challenging, but knowing that it's important. And this is for the long term. This is something that's important for the rest of your life as technology only becomes more and more prevalent in our lives.
Yes. Well, Kelsey, thank you so much for sharing your insight and your expertise and your knowledge on all of these topics, because I think, you know, these are things that we don't necessarily talk about or we hear very often. And I think more and more, like you said, it's conversations like this that we need to have so that people can, you know, be introspective, right? Like maybe I didn't know I was, you know, digitally connected so much, but like having conversations like this, you think about, okay, well, maybe I should kind of take note of how often I'm online or how often I pick up my phone or this or that or whatever it might be. So thank you for taking the time to give us that insight and that perspective. And how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more, if they want to try that Sunday challenge? How can they connect?
Absolutely. So you can find me at kelseylgreen.com, L like lemur, same handle on Instagram, Kelsey L Green. You can find me on LinkedIn. So yeah, hit me up. Yes, the screen-free Sunday challenges will run one or two every month. Always on Sunday. That seems to be a good day for people. And I send you little ways to prepare, because a fully screen-free day does take some preparation, we have learned. And I run these masterminds that start at the beginning of every quarter. And as I mentioned, I have the course on how to build your circle. That's mostly focused on adults wanting to cultivate that in-person network and community.
Love it. Well, thank you again, Kelsey. As a friend, I have loved this conversation. I'm so glad that we've had the opportunity to put this out into the world for other people to hear, and just been grateful to have you as a guest.
Yeah, same. Thank you so much, Tori. I'll see you in our mastermind.
Yeah, definitely.